Okay, well, people are getting ready to receive the teachings, getting their things together. I'd like to read the prayer list. Prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Venerable Lobsang Cherki, Bruce Baxter, Larry Lee Bullock, Andy Chauvin, Ray Allen DeMarcy, Mark Pristop, Fernando Perez Gil Romo, Linda Smith, Arnold Winnen, Pierre Winfield, Annabelle the Dog, Baby Bunny, Gersimi the Cat, and Winnie the Dog. Job Search, Roseanne Barona, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, James Lillig, Michelle Matich, Pooja, Alex Schwartz, Greg Weaver, Sandy Wimish. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Cherki Lamo, Venerable Losang Tsering. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters for the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Roger and Barb Alexander, Russell Allen, Lisa Baranski, Jim Barnes, Luce Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Roseanne Barona, Bob and Rochelle, John Carroll, Suzanne Diamandopoulos, Dimitri Diamandopoulos, Diane Foreman, and son Brad Wolf. RGGGAC, Crystal Green and Sons, Jimmy Gooch and Family, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Paul Hagwood, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Jessica Kasanoff and the Pristop Family, Nina Kowalski, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojek, Danny Love, R.M., Judy Martin, Andrea Martin, Sarah Miller, Catherine Meyer, Evan Myrtle and Family, Nivea, William Oliver, Mary Palermo, Jay Pandya, Anna Papard and her many cousins throughout the Ukraine, Lindsay Piatti, Eileen Rubin and Family, Rosemary Cease, Sarai, Sidi Shonabar, Basil Shute, Lobsang Topden, Dion Washington, Jessica Whitmore, Renee Wildermuth, Steve Williams, Sandy Wimbish, family of Pierre Winfield, Shay Wokowicki, Dorje and Kadro the Pigs, Gray the Dog, Raven the Cat. So in a few minutes, Geshe-la will be arriving. You've never been here on Wednesday. First, before he arrives, we'll read the praises of 21 Taras. As soon as Geshe-la sits down, we'll be saying the reciting the Guru Lama Tsokhapa Guru Yoga, and the booklets are in the bin right there. And then after we're done with that, we'll read the short mandala offering, which is on the back of the first base sheet. And right under that, the request to turn the wheel of Dharma. And then Geshe-la will start chanting the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayer, which is on the flip side of that page at the bottom. And it's possible that he might chant the Tonglen meditation on taking and giving, or maybe we'll do the accepting difficulties as a path. I'm not sure. And then Geshe-la will say a prayer to himself, and then we'll start on the text, the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. And my sense is that Geshe-la has stopped on page 270. So I believe that's where he stopped. And that's in the chapter on the eight types of suffering. And this will probably be his last Lamrim class until he gets back in a couple months, right? Because if he's not coming next on Sunday, then after Sunday. He's not coming. Yeah, one more Sunday. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's not on the calendar, is it? It's not on the calendar. What's that?
What did we plan last week? Are we getting together anyway?
I can't hear anything you're saying. I'm sorry.
What did Shanga say? Are we still getting together?
That's basic.
About tenets? Yeah, I don't go to that. Okay, so let's say that recite the praises to 21 Torahs on the green sheets on the white prayer book. From your sublime abode at the Potala, O Tara, born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara, you who rescue all who are destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. O my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator, homage, Tara, swift, heroic, eyesight, lightning, instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord of Heroes, turbo lotus, homage, she whose face combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with white rays resplendent as a 1,000-star collection, homage, golden, blue, and lotus, water-born in hand adorned, giving effort, calm austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere, homage, crown of Tathagatas, action, triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Image filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with their feet the seven worlds, able to forth of all beings, homage worshipped by the All Lord, Shaka Ani Brahma Maru, honored by the hostess Piris, corpses or Skandavas Yakshas, homage with the tre and piss sounds, destroying false magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out right and blazing in a raging fireplace, homage to a very dreadful destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies. Image at the heart her fingers, adorn her with three Jomudra, library masses all excited, all directions fields adorn her, homage she so joyous radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, her full laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's Davis, homage she able to summon, all earth guardians assembly, shaking frowning with her home sign, saving from every misfortune, homage crown adorned with crescent, moon anonymous most shining, Amitabha in her hair, not sending out much light eternal, homage with breath ablaze like beyond ending fire abiding, rise up up and joy surround you, truce for enemies destroying. She who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, happy, virtuous, peaceful, she whose field is peace, nirvana. She endowed with omen, soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder. Praiseth whom in knowledge mantra, orange mud of the ten letters. Homage to her with seed letter, of the shape of syllable, whom by perceptive shakes his free. Smeru Mandara and Vindya, homage holding in her hand the hermit moon of Devalek. Thy spoken Tara and Pi, totally dispelling poison. Homage she whom gods and their kings and the Kinaras do honor. Armored in all joyful splendor, she dispels bad dreams and conflicts. Homage she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon. With wise Hara and Tutare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage full of liberating, fired by the set of three natures. Trisosos of spirit yakshas and race corpus supreme today. These praises with the room mantras and prostrations of Sar 21. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering it at dawn upon waking and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spears, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled and all obstacles pacified. So then if you flip back to the first base sheet, let's read, accepting difficulties as a path. And if Geshe-la chants the Tonglen, taking and giving meditation, it's right above that. Even if the environment and beings are filled with the fruits of negativity and unwished-for sufferings pour down like rain, I seek your blessings to take these miserable conditions as a path by seeing them as causes to exhaust the results of my negative karma. In short, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad, take your blessings to transform them into a path increasing the two bodhicittas through the practice of the five forces, the quintessence of the entire Dharma, as to meditate only on mental happiness. Okay, for those who came a little bit later, I believe we're on page 270 in the textbook on the chapter 8, Types of Suffering. So if you please turn to page 7 in the booklet, and we'll start on the Guru Yoga, Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga. You emanate from the heart of the Savior of the 100 Devas, joyful realm, on the peak of a cloud water holder resembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd. The King of Dharma, Omniscient Losangdrapa, with your sons, I request you to come to this place. In the sky before me, on a lion throne, lotus and moon disc, the perfect pure Lama smiles with delight. Supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion, I beg you to abide for 100 eons to increase the teachings. Your holy mind understands the full extent of objects to be known. Your eloquent speech is the ear ornament of the fortunate ones. Your holy body is glowing and glorious with fame. To you who is meaningful to see, hear, and remember, I prostrate. Beautiful drinking water, various range flowers, fragrant incense light, scented water, and so forth, actually performed and mentally transformed oceans of offerings, I offer to you the supreme field of merit. Whatever non-virtues of body, speech, and mind, especially actions opposite to three vows, I have created from beginningless time, from the bottom of my heart, I regret and fervently confess them all individually. In this time of the five degenerations, you strove for many listenings and realizations and made meaningful the perfect human rebirth by renouncing the 8 worldly concerns and the Savior's extensive deeds. I rejoice sincerely from the depths of my heart. Please, holy, perfect, pure gurus, from billow clouds of compassion and wisdom in the sky of Dharmakaya, make rainfalls of profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the ears of sentient beings or the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losangdrapa to shine forever. And then will you please turn to page 13 in the booklet, and let's recite the prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa 20 times to ourselves, and then I'll lead the 21st one so we can chant it together. Me, Please turn to page 21 in the booklet, and let's read the second stanza of the dedication. In all my lives, as the victorious one, Lama Tsongkhapa, acting in person as a Mahayana guru, may I never turn aside for even an instant from the excellent path praised by the victorious ones. Now, if you turn to the white prayer book, to the first beishi, the back, and let's chant the short mandala offering, and then right below that, request to turn the wheel of Dharma. Sa shi per ki shu shin me tok ta.
Good evening.
Good evening, Geshe-la.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to Lamrim class. Beautiful weather, huh? Very nice weather, yeah. We are very much blessed. Mm-hmm. to maybe a little bit refresh, as a review or refresh. Review or refresh. So maybe I'll do that. No, this is the second last or the second last wellness class. Sounds right.
I have to look at a calendar.
So, I think so.
Yeah, next week will be the last.
Oh, the second last?
So this is next to last.
Oh, this is the second last. Oh. So, anyway, so when I come back, then I continue the Wednesday night. So this meditation on emptiness is quite... As this based on one stanza, you know, stanza I just explained. Where Rinpoche, if you came to the retreat, the Rinpoche chanting almost every time when Rinpoche came to the retreat. So you know, it's like this whole emptiness meditation based on one stanza. I think it's quite, you know, stanza is not that difficult to, I think, memorize, you know. So the emptiness of meditation on emptiness can be done based on that stanza. So then maybe I already explained one, you know, so maybe or there's something that we should think, you know, again and again, you know. So that's what meditation on emptiness is about, you know. So think about emptiness again and again. The reason behind that is like in order to, as a challenge, the self-grasping mind, mind that grabs on the self, and that mind don't understand how self exists, but that mind grabs on the self. Self mistakenly grabs very tightly, then so much built on that, so then there's all these confusions, you know, start, all the confusions start because of that. So, individual confusions, you know, confusion in the community, confusion in the country, the confusion in the whole universe, you know, is based on, it's like caused by that, you know, caused by that fundamental confusions that, you know, grasping very tightly on the self that does not exist, self that does not exist. So the same, pretty much built on that, it doesn't exist because that's just built on something. So then, you know, that's why, okay, so meditation on emptiness is like tackling or challenging the root of the suffering, the root of the suffering. So then, bodhicitta is, you know, challenging self-cherishing mind, you know, self-cherishing mind. But it's interesting that Lama Selingpa, who probably now, you know, that modern day they figured out that Lama Tsongkhapa was living in part of Indonesia. So before people don't know, he's living beyond ocean. That's all they know, beyond oceans. There's no label. So nowadays they figured out part of Indonesia. That's where Lama Selingpa used to live. Lama Adisha traveled there many, many months by boat. At that time, boat is not the fanciest nowadays boat. It's like sailing. Sailing is a lot of problems. Took a lot of months, and many, many months. So they finally got there, then spent 12 years in Indonesia to learn to learn how to develop bodhicitta, you know, because Lama Selingpa carrying a lot of, you know, that lineage. And not just lineage, but Lama Selingpa himself also practiced bodhicitta. So Lama Adisha went there with a lot of effort to learn bodhicitta. So there's, you know, bodhicitta is, you know, practicing bodhicitta is a way to challenge our, you know, self-cherishing mind. When I say self-cherishing mind, so It's different than self-interest. This is different than self-interest. It's not like, it's not about taking care of yourself. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about taking care of yourself. It's problem. I'm not talking about that. Self-changing mind is not just, it's not like taking care of yourself. You know, taking care of yourself. Yeah, of course, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. You know, we have to take care of our health. We have to take care of our, everything. So we have to take care of this life. We have to take care of next life. Not that. Make sense? Yeah, self-cherishing. I'm worried because sometimes people may misunderstand self-cherishing. It's not like helping yourself. That's not self-cherishing. Self-cherishing has negative connotations. Mm. Negative connotations, no? So my way, highway, something like that, no? So attitude. So that's the reason I'm bringing this up about Lama Selimpa. It's very interesting because Lama Selimpa kind of like, praise, probably like self-grasping mind. It's kind of interesting, someone who practices bodhicitta, but Lama Tsongkhapa saying the self-grasping mind is the center of our, Jigsola Tawa, that's like, self-grasping mind, called Jigsola Tawa. Sanje Ki Dung is the central pillar of the house that, keeps house up, central pillar, because roof is not coming down because of the central pillar. So it's very interesting. The Lama Selimpa, he kind of, sees the self-grasping mind as the central pillar of, enlightenment. Without that, there will be no enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting, but, so don't need to get into that. Just, in the later on, if you see something like that, Gila says self-grasping mind needs to tackle. But here, Lama Selimpa, Lama Adichie's master, who helped Lama Adichie to develop bodhicitta, and he's the one who's praising self-grasping mind. Different reason. So, he's like self-grasping more like, I want to be happy. I want to be enlightened. I want to develop bodhicitta. That kind of, this also is still self-grasping mind, but make sense? Yeah. So, the problem that now, whenever we say I, it's very much mixed. It's not like always, true. Like, it's not always referred to conventional self. It's also reversed, also mixed with the superimposed or projected self. It's also mixed there, So anyway, so that's kind of interesting, to someone who's well known in the Buddhist communities, well educated, also practicing him who himself is a Bodhisattva, and like, Jigsola Tawa Sanje Ki Dung, So if you read there's one book, there's like 100 different mind training texts. 100 different mind training texts, there's one book. It's already translated by Thubten Jinpa, His Holiness personal translator. And that book is well translated because he knows the material very well. So his English is perfect, almost perfect. So he translated that. So and when you read first or I think maybe second or third one of those mind training texts, probably composed by Lama Adisha. So when you read, then you can see there, that's where it says, Lama Selimpa, Lama Adisha's master, he said that, self-grasping mind is the central pillar of enlightenment, central pillar of enlightenment. So there must be some deep reason, deep reason. So my point here is here, there, maybe it's good to think about emptiness, it's good to think of emptiness. So then it's much easier to think rather than based on whole book, which has 100 pages, 200 pages, 400 pages. So then meditation is just based on one stanza. One stanza. So I will just review a little bit, then you know, maybe then next Wednesday a little bit, then maybe I will continuously, you know, do that till that sink into our, at least our, into our brain. So then hopefully it will slowly slow, slow, sink here. But I have to have here, so you know, then hopefully it will go there. So that emptiness meditation is explained based on the four characteristics. According to the stanza, the way the emptiness has been explained based on four characteristics. First one is called characteristic of nature. Characteristic of nature. Nature. Characteristic of nature. So that explained based on three things. Star. Ravri, so now I kind of forgot an English word. Ravri is like...
Visual aberration?
Yeah, visual aberration. Visual aberration?
Yes, visual aberration.
Visual aberration, so visual aberrations. Not much enthusiastic to learn the word because only learning Tibetan, so they feel like learning again. Visual aberration, so Ravri. Marme, then?
Flame of a lamp.
Flame of lamp, marme, flame of lamp. Flame of lamp, marme. So I will review those three things. So this is emptiness explained according to the stanza based on four characteristics. The first one is characteristic of nature. Nature. So that explained through 3 points. The first one, star. Second one is the visual
aberration.
Visual aberrations. Then third one is like flame of lamp.
Yes.
So what is happening when you think about emptiness? What is happening is there's two things happening. Okay, there's two things happening. One is appearances. You know, everything that you see. You know, everything you see. You know, all the visual things. That's one. That's what is happening. One thing. So that's what's happening. Everything that we see, hear, not just see, and also hear or feel, smell or taste, all of that. That's called, now it's called appearances. Appearances? Appearances, okay. Tongpa, so that's now, literally means empty. Tongpa means empty. Nang tong, nang appearances, tong empty, nang tong, no? Ni tu, chok means collection of appearance and empty is explained based on star. Star? Okay, based on star. So then, this is very good, I think this is very good, no? Then according to... Chandrakirti, very famous Indian scholar who wrote the commentary on emptiness subject. You know, the book was called Madhyamanga Avatara. Madhyamanga Avatara. Then it has Middle Way of Emptiness, something. In English, Middle Way of something. Middle Way of Emptiness, something. I'm not sure. Madhyamanga Avatara, Umala Juba. I'm not sure what it is. Does anybody remember in English? Something middle way up. This is a good text to remember because this is the best one. You know, this is the best. When it's come down to Pasankika point of view, that's the best text. No? So of course, Dhavatapa, also Chandrakirti is also, you know, writing a book based on Nagarjuna, wrote a lot of books. Nagarjuna wrote a lot of books, you know, about emptiness. So then, you know, like the commentary on that, because Nagarjuna book itself, just reading that is so difficult to understand. So then Chandrakirti, you know, explained elaborately, you know. So then that book itself also become very difficult. So then there's many, many different commentaries to help you to understand what Chandrakirti is trying to explain, say about emptiness, and indirectly what Nagarjuna is trying to say about emptiness. You know, this like people used to understand just reading Nagarjuna texts. So then it's become very complicated. Then Chandrakirti wrote big commentary, so that become kind of difficult. So now then all different masters, they wrote different commentaries, to help to understand. So in that text, Chandrakirti text, then what it says is like Nyuku Yanda Jumbatoma is Nyuku means all the phenomena. All the phenomena. All the phenomena, it has two entities, or two natures, or you can say two natures. One is called conventional nature, one is called ultimate nature. Everything has two natures. So far, not seeing emptiness is just communicating with conventional nature or conventional truth, not able to go beyond than that. No, not able to go beyond than that. So conventional truth. Appearance symbolize conventional truth. See here, the empty symbolize ultimate truth. That's what it is. No true truth. That's what it is. Okay. So then star is like collection of appearances. Is also the emptiness. Explains based on the star. Is it clear? Am I making you more confused? Okay, so good. The reason, even just thinking about that, believe or not, all the karma is going to be pieces, like when you throw the glass on the ground, it's going to shatter. Even just wondering what is emptiness. It's so powerful. Why it's so powerful? It goes to the root. It's tackled to the root, not just branch. It's tackled to the root. That's why it's so powerful. Even just somebody just wondering about, what is emptiness? So believe or not, if you wonder who said it, Ayadeva said. Who said that? Ayadeva said. In which text? The four stanza of Madhyamanga Avatara text. Four stanza of Madhyamanga. If you read that text, you will see. And who composed that Ayadeva when? Long, long time ago. So in that text, Sonam Chungyu Chodila Tsunat, anyway, so you can read. So this book, I think that book is already translated in English too. So you can read that in that book. So there's a reason. Even just wondering about emptiness, pieces, all this negative karma, like throwing glass on the ground. Why it's so powerful? Because it's this whole idea is the way to tackle the root of the sufferings. That's why it's so powerful. Root of, not just brain, like here and there, not the root. So having said that, now karma, during the daytime, when you look at the sky, what you see pure sky. You don't see star. That's another way of, I say that's like that's a symbolized ultimate truth. When meditative equipoise. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Meditative equipoise of emptiness or on emptiness. On emptiness. Meditative equipoise on emptiness. Not the person, that's the mind. Not the person who is doing it, but not the person, okay? We are not saying, person don't see prayer. That's wrong. What we are saying, person is in deep meditations on emptiness. So the mind, this meditative ego poise, that's the mind. Mind that's deep in the emptiness, that's the mind, that's not the person. So that mind only see emptiness, like seeing pure sky, no star. Even star does exist, regardless daytime, nighttime, star do exist, but like during the daytime, you don't see them. That's exactly how the person who is in deep meditations, so that meditative ego poise, that mind only sees ultimate truth. It doesn't see any conventional truth. Make sense? Oh, yeah. So that now that's the one way to start to symbolize ultimate truth. Make sense? Can you make connection? Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That's how the person who's in deep meditation on emptiness, that's how they see, not the person that's meditative, equipoised mind only sees ultimate truth, not conventional truth. Even though conventional truth exists, the mind don't correspond with the conventional truth. So now when you say, what is the stanza with here? Can you say the stanza, please? Stanza?
A star, a visual app.
Okay, now you say, when you say star, it's not just star, no, there's like deep meaning. It's not just saying star. Usually you can say, anybody can say star, means nothing, no? The star is star. So now when you're saying star, oh, there's so much to think. There's so much to think. No? So that's good. No? Star. So then, when it, you know, in the, when it becomes...
Do you mind explaining that? Again, I'm not quite getting the conventional
The clear sky. Clear sky. Let's say star symbolizes conventional truth. So during the daytime we don't see star. So empty, clear sky, that symbolizes emptiness. Make sense? So it's like, you know, it's not just star. So now it's explained based on the star, you know, combined with sky. It's not just star. Okay? So it's a little bit kind of confusing too. Like star, I think, represent true truth. That's what I said. That's why probably you have these questions. So now the star combined with the sky. Star in the daytime, in the sky, there's stars there, but you don't see them. That's how the meditative equipoised mind sees, you know, only sky, not the star. Means only emptiness part, not the conventional part, which is no star. Make sense? Yeah, so I think if you think about it again, it will slowly make sense. Slow. Yeah. Then when it gets dark, so then all the star is going to be visible. Visible, right? All the star is going to be visible. So that means now not seeing ultimate truth, but seeing conventional truth. Everything becomes visible because it's become dark. So that darkness symbolizes fundamental confusions. See, the darkness symbolizes fundamental confusions. So now the star is very visible. That's conventional truth. So now, make sense? Does it make sense? In the darkness, so then stars are invisible. There's like person who don't see emptiness, or mind which doesn't see emptiness, that's how they see. They only see conventional truth. They don't see ultimate truth, no. Everything is very visible. Oh. Not just seeing them, then seeing them, you know, like... Not seeing it the way it is, no, seeing something different. No. Seeing them is also conventional truth, then not just that, and then a lot of mistake. That's a mistake, you know. So that's a star, you know. Then visual aberrations.
Yes, visual.
Huh?
Yes, visual.
Oh, yeah. Visual aberrations. So that I'm not sure that you don't talk about this here. So, but you know, visual aberration. There's some kind of like caused by some kind of jaundice. Some kind of jaundice. Yeah. So there's like has some negative impact on your visual. So then, Person who does not have hair, who does not have hair, and sees that hair is falling down. Person who does not have hair and sees the hair is falling down. So there's hallucination because no, there's nothing to fall down because you don't have hair. But no, you feel like the hair is falling down. So their hair is true to you. It's very vivid or very real to you, but it's not real. It's real, and someone who does not have visual problems, they have to see. They have to see that. Because they don't see. They see your bolt. But you are seeing that your hair is falling. If I start to see my hair is falling down, then I'm hallucinated. There are problems, yeah, because they have no hair. So then that's my problem. It's not everybody's problem because nobody sees. No. So that's like that's why it's called is real when you see it's real, but actually it's not real. Make sense? It's real because this person is horrible, you know. It's real to you, but it's not real. If it's really real, everybody has to see that person is horrible, but not everybody sees that person is horrible. Then that applies to everything that we experience, no liking that, not liking that, having problem with that, not having problem with that, no, like this and that, everything, no. This is called conventional truth. It's truth in the sense that you see as a truth, but generally speaking, it's not truth. It's not truth, no. See, example like visual operations, you know. It's like, it's very vivid, it's very real to you, but it's not real. But it doesn't exist exactly the way you see. If it exists exactly the way you see, then what you are seeing is your hair is falling down. But that's not real. But, you know, someone who does not have eye problems, visual problems, didn't see. What they see is your bolt, you know. So that's like, then that, you know, symbolize not collection of appearance and emptiness, that only symbolize visual aberration, symbolize conventional truth. So don't think I'm trying to pass the time here, so I'm going to read Lamrim, but this is important, you know, so believe or not, this is important. It's important, that's why Rinpoche has been saying all the time. It's important. No? Emptiness is important. No? Even just thinking about that, we have no idea. No, other they were said very clearly. Just wondering about that, pieces. No, like the comments, like pieces like that. So then, if you really think about purification practice, best things, you know, to meditate on emptiness. No? So the visual operation symbolizes conventional truth and also appearances. Here, appearances and conventional truth is the same synonym. No difference. Huh? So then, Mahamaja. So now, does not mean conventional truth don't exist. They do exist because very vivid. No, you have experience, you have feeling. No, you have all kinds of things. No, like interaction with that. That does not mean they don't exist. They do exist. No, and they exist based on the causes and the conditions, not based on how you see. They don't exist based on how you see. That's not how they exist. They exist based on causes and the conditions. Make sense? Say like flame of lamp.
Yes, flame of lamp.
Yeah, flame of lamp. That's an example. That's an example. If somebody says, thing doesn't exist, that's wrong thing. That's mistake. They do exist. Not because they exist, because now they don't exist because the way you see. That's not how they exist. They exist based on causes and conditions. So now, interdependent. That understanding will help you to understand emptiness. Why? Because it's not independent. it is dependent. Independent? Yeah. Dependent origination. Dependent origination. No? Dependent arising. Dependent arising. So, not the Tibetan uprising. Dependent arising. Dependent arising. It's all this thing. No. Depend. Now see, dependent. Supposed to help you to understand. It's not independent. But I see it's independent. It's not how they exist. Not how the conventional truth exists. It's not based on how you see them. It's based on causes and conditions. No. Now they are dependent. So now clearly, independent thinking, they are independent, seeing them as independent, solid, absolute, inherent, all of that is mistake. See? So now, you know, we have been studying on the Friday night, some of you now, if you recall, so now, the lower school, they say, oh, this is ultimate truth because it's functioning. It's functioning. You know, it's functioning. Remember, does it ring bell? Does it ring any bell? I'm asking the people who come to Friday night class. Does it? So this is, it's good if they ring some bells. That's good. Bells are not bells, sorry, bell. If there rings big bell, that's very, very good. So I'm asking, is there any bells? So now, see, their understanding of emptiness is very, like, limited, very limited. They are saying, oh, this is ultimate truth because it's functioning. It's functioning as a prayer will, that's ultimate truth. So now, Pasankika is saying, oh, these are not, you know, it's like, it's empty because it's functioning. So now, see, it's not like, this is not ultimate truth because it's functioning. It's totally different, totally opposite. You know? So anyway, so now the flame of lamb exists due to causes and conditions. They have to have, how is it, weak. They have to have butter. They have to have lighters. Has to have something to put in. That's how you see flame of lamb. That's how the flame of lamb exists. Exists dependent on the what do you call kungu? So we call kungu. So what do you call this thing that we use here? The big one here. You see?
I guess a butter lamp, altar light.
This is amazing. There's only one thing that doesn't have label in America. Otherwise, everything's label. That's quite amazing, really. So, this one thing doesn't have labels. Otherwise, everything's labeled. Everything says label. So that's good. That's not. This one is no label. So, but Tibetan we do have labels. Kungu, so it's kungu. So anyway, there's some things that you put. Then you put the butter in. So we call kungu. So, so you know. Flame of lamb exists based on kungu and the butter and the wick and the lighter. You know, it exists. doesn't exist the way you see. No, you may see, oh, it's right there. It's there yesterday. It's here today. Not that's how it exists. No. So now everything exists. They are not saying no. Conventional truth does exist, but it doesn't exist. Not because. That's how you see, because it exists, because it's dependent on causes and conditions and the part, not just causes and conditions, also part and everything, okay? So these are the three things I just want to explain, share with you, so maybe it's good to know. So now when you say star, it's not just star, you know, for you it means something deep. Visual aberrations, see? Star. That's now you can think about true truth, conventional truth, ultimate truth. You begin with ultimate truth, then you know, then the conventional truth. Visual aberrations, conventional truth. Flame of lamb, that explains, you know, things do exist, don't think, no, merely level doesn't mean they don't exist. Merely level, you know, sometimes you say, oh, merely impure by mind. Does not mean they don't exist. They do exist, you know, they do exist. Not because how you see them, because simply based on cause and condition and part. See? So now, star, visual aberrations, film of limb, then you know, you have something to think about. So when you do that, all this, you know, cause of suffering is going to be pieces, like throwing glass on the floor. Believe it or not. Who said that? Aryadeva said. Who's Aryadeva? Indian master. One of the main disciples of Nagarjuna, and where he wrote many texts, which text? Four stanza of Madhyamaka avatar text, that's where he said. So when you read, you'll see there. Oh, yeah, so just want to share because and every day, you know, if you can do much, you know, so if you just think about that, you know, the dead, you know, you can say, I say, you can tell, you know, star and visual aberrations, film of lamp, you can tell them, you made my day. you made my day. So then, now there's some time left, so then I'll explain here. So we will review this, you know, this stanza a number of times, to make sure everybody knows by heart, you know, so then I think it's very good. Samula Chukla, where we stop?
We start on showing the significance of the Buddha's asserting the truth of suffering as the first of the four truths. And we were talking about the next part is the truth of cessation. And then we were going to talk about qualms. And
So, Nunga Gomani, so Dude, Tembana, Tabat, Duba.
So we talked about the first three truths. So now we're going to start on the...
Did I explain like the second truth?
I believe you did do the second and the third.
Second and the third?
Yes.
Oh.
Uh-huh. About the truth of origin... You did that already.
So this is good, you know. So like, actually, that's how they translate it. I think that's very good translation. Actual meditation on suffering might be very, very foreign to your ear, you know. So like, but that's reason. That's deep reason. You know, that's deep reason. You know? So then, you know, the second truth, you know, so like, there's a cause of suffering, you know. So now, very, very interesting, like, cause of suffering is not exactly what we think the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering, according to Four Noble Truths, something deep, you know. So they are like referring to cause of suffering is Afflicted mind. See, not your neighbors, not your car, not your computers, not your laptop, not your internet. Very interesting. You know, the cause of suffering is like, according to Four Noble Truths, refers to afflicted mind. So when you see that afflicted mind is causing all the suffering, you are about to test liberations. You are about to test nirvana. You are about to test ultimate freedom. So, otherwise, no. Get rid of. I don't like this. You get rid of that. I don't like that person. Get rid of that person. No. So that it's like ongoing. That's like going on and on, like going round and round. That's no. If you see, if it is the mind is the cause of suffering, so then you are seeing the end of suffering, is seeing the end of suffering, end of how to end suffering. Oh, that's important, okay? Then, third truth is like cessation. So that's where I stopped, Tamula.
Yes, you stopped on the truth of cessation.
Now we'll start from there. Desire for liberations, not just spacing our desire. Can I say that? Spacing our desire?
Desire for spacing out?
Yeah.
Or to
spacing
out?
Not really strong. I don't want to, it's not like very strong. I really want it. It's not just like, not really strong, you know. So now, dudente mana, when you explain suffering, so see that the very reason of explaining suffering is to you to develop desire to liberation, for liberations. If that's doing that, it's helping. If that's not doing that, it's a waste of time. No, this is not worth it. I would think of suffering. It's not worth it to think of suffering. If that helps you to develop desire to seek liberations, so then it's good. That's good. That's what it's for. Explaining the suffering is to help you to develop desire, the tabala dobacheve, to develop desire for liberation or moksha, nirvana. Dudeje voto, godet temporization, dudeje voto. So this person was wondering why you don't explain cessation right after suffering. Your whole goal to explaining suffering is to lead to the cessations. If that's the goal, why you don't explain cessation right after suffering? First truth. Somebody's just wondering, raising up this question. So then, no problem. When you're explaining suffering, then people automatically do develop some kind of desire to overcome from those sufferings. So then, the problems, then right after that, if you don't explain the origin of suffering, so people probably will not achieve liberation. That's why you explain second to this origin of suffering. That's why, not the cessation. Without knowing the cause of suffering, and people are not going to have a strong desire for liberations. That's why. So then you say, okay, now there's problems. There's a reason why there's problems. There's a second truth. The problems, that's the first truth. The reason, there's a second truth, there's a reason. There's a reason, second truth. And there's a way out. Cessation, there's a way out. Cessation, then how to get out? How to get out? There's a technique or method how to get out. That's the last truth. The path that leads to cessation. That's how this Four Noble Truth is. The order of the Four Noble Truth is based on practice level. Practice level, not like some of them, sometimes there's like based on causality, So this order is not based on causality, you know. If this order is based on causality, then the origin of suffering has to come first. Then the suffering, then the path, then the cessation, you know. This order is not based on causality. This order is based on practice. Practice, okay. Oh. This is also good to know, because there are sometimes you may see, you know, some order, different orders. So then you wonder what is that. Then you need to think. You have now two ways of thinking. Is this order of practice? four immeasurable prayer. Four immeasurables. When we say, how we say? May all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness. No? that's the order is not based on practice level. The practice, the equanimity has to come first. First begin, when you practice, you begin with equanimities. So then rest, you know. So when you say, you know, equanimity comes last. No? So there's one thing, there will be something, then probably no more, you know, when you read, you will know. Tene tada tabang gobang gobang tu cawan itu semua tabar tu lang kami ni London tu bosan dalam tu semua tengah jual malay nene si jas. So now lama song was quoting a sublime continuum composed by Maitreya Buddha. Actually, Asanga is the one who brought this text to the universe, our world. That text has been taught in Tushita realm, where Maitreya Buddha teaching now, we are Maitreya Buddha teaching now. So Asanga went there just one morning of Tushita realm, just one morning. It's like equivalent of 50 years of human life for them is one morning, just one morning. So Asanga listened all this Maitreya Buddha taught five texts. Chamchu denga, five walk of Maitreya Buddha, Sanskrit word for love, I think love, Maitreya, Sanskrit word for love, Maitreya, Chamba Gumbo, that's the name of the Maitreya Buddha. So they've taught five texts. So then Asanga brought those texts to the world as a gift. No, only one morning he listens, but 50 years equal of Tibetan lives, the human life, 50 years of human life. So Lama Tsongkhwa quoting one of those texts called Sublime Continuum, that's how they translate it in English. So this is good. Nene Shija. So this will also help, you know. This is short, but it will help you to understand Four Noble Truths. Nene Shija. Sickness is something that needs to be diagnosed. Sickness, something that needs to be diagnosed. Shija. Neji Juni. So maybe some are better written in the good English. So rather than rely on working English.
Yeah. At the middle of 270, recognize that you are ill. Eliminate the cause of the illness. Attain health and rely on a remedy. Likewise, you should recognize, eliminate, attain, and rely upon suffering, its cause, its cessation, and the path respectively.
Then?
That's all.
This is like Four Noble Truth. Who taught this word? Taught by Maitreya Buddha, believe or not. This exact has been taught by Maitreya Buddha. So then Lama Tsongkhwa quoting the Neni Shija, Neji Juni, Panjala, Dene Topja, Meni Tenpa Chawada, Dunga Juda, Tegopada, Tejilam, Shija Panja, Ribachari, Tenpa Chas. Neni Shija, Neji Juni, Panjala, Dene Topja, Meni Tenpa Chawada, Dunga Juda, Tegopada, Shija Panja, Ribachari, Tenpa Chas, Shie Sung Sos. Tetana Deshini Tebachu Kundu Le to Masunshins. So the Four Noble Truth teaching has been explained in all kinds of sutras, you know, first will, second will, mainly first will, through the will of Dharma, the first will, the main subject is Four Noble Truths. But, you know, Theravada tradition, Mahayana tradition, Four Noble Truths have been widely explained, Shakyamuni Buddha widely explained in all the tradition, not just Mahayana tradition, also, you know, like Theravada tradition. Not just one time, many times. Kowa jubba da tel dobe nenam dewar sebe dubba imbe kowa jubba da tel dobe nenam so why, you know, like why, like a cycle of existence, why some, you know, like why cycling, to how to break the cycle, why is, you know, like why is going round, you know, then how it stop, you know, all of that. So then Twelve link, no, that's part of the Four Noble Truths, teaching the 12 link. Kowa juba, how, you know, like korwa juba, teletobe, nenam, devar shebe, duba in this. Shajamuni Buddha sums it up.
Yeah, you can say that
to Shubhishra.
He sums it up in one sentence.
Yeah, sums it up.
Yeah, you can say that
to Shubhishra. Sum it up.
He sums it up in
One statement. Yeah. So also when it's in that class, you know, I also try to learn some English here there. Oh yeah. Shakyamuni Buddha sums it up. So like Kowa Jukpa, you know, how we caught up in the cycle, you know, how to break that cycle, all of that, Shakyamuni Buddha sums it up in Four Noble Truths teachings. Huh? That's what it is, you know, sums up. See, this is good. So now, you know, this Tantra is not that, that's not Buddhism. No, altar, that's not Buddhism. The rope, that's not Buddhism. What is Buddhism? Buddhism is Four Noble Truths. That's Buddhism. That's Buddha's teaching. That's the principle of Buddhism. See? So that's why he's always saying, oh, become 21st century Buddhist. I mean, Buddhist with knowledge, not just, no, just, no, just faith. So now, oh, that's good. So now see, Four Noble Truths, that's called framework of Buddha's teaching. Framework. This is Buddhist principle, Four Noble Truths. See, because this is no summary of why we caught up in the cycle of, you know, these 12 links, you know, how to break that. So this is no Four Noble Truths. That sums it up, okay? Kojuba Teodo, Devarshebe, Dubai Imbe, Namdu Dubara, Shindu Kechi is so vital. So vital, if you are seeking liberations, this is Four Noble Truths teachings, so vital. So how they say, somebody, can you read that part?
Okay, let's see.
You just finish reading like the Sublime Continuum right after that.
This being the case, the four truths are taught repeatedly throughout the Mahayana and the Hinayana.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Sugata has included in the four truths the vital points concerning the process of cyclic existence and its cessation, this teaching is crucial for achieving freedom.
Crucial or vital? Crucial, same?
Crucial.
Vital, crucial, same? Same, yeah. Mm-hmm. Crucial or vital. Okay, so now... So now, this, you know, as I said, Tathagata, that's wrong. It's Sugata. It's not Tathagata. It's Sugata. Huh? The worship of Suk means happiness. Suk. Duk. I think it's like Dukkha. It's not like suffering. Huh? Suk. Oh, yeah. Then, let's go. So now, Nyamlinji Gaudum, Nyamlinji Gaudum Yang Chevi, Rinpoche, that Loma Chikyo, this. That's how you lead. See? That's how you lead. That's how you lead. The Nyamlinji Gaudum Chewe Rinpa Theta to Loma Chikyo this. If you want to lead, you know, disciple, that's how you lead, you know. You want to check with this. Dukden sambe gune kowala shenlo namashi menas. Taba to de sidandu dewe chichi kunjundu drola son. Dukden sambe gune kowala shenba shenlo namashi mena. This is if you are seriously seeking liberation, okay? We are not talking about if you are seeking some kind of pleasure or happiness in this life, it's not for that. No? I'm not saying it's bad, but you know, if you are seriously seeking liberation, if you are seriously seeking liberation, then the point is when you study about the First Noble Truth, so then, you know, like, can you read that part in English?
Since this synoptic outline of practice is important, it must be taught to students in just this order. Why? Unless you reflect on the truth of suffering to the point of actually becoming revolted by cyclic existence.
Revolted? What's that? Revolted?
Disgusted.
Revolted. Okay, that's new word. Revolted.
Your desire to attain liberation will be mere words, and whatever you do will lead to origins of further suffering.
Yeah. That's why Lama Sutra says, ah, la, 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 la. there's no need to think about meaning, otherwise, so Sikhs says, it's beyond a mere word. So that's what I've been saying, when I say refuge in the Bodhisattva prayer, it's very liberating. Rather than just word. So this is for someone out there seeking liberation very seriously. So then when they study First Noble Truth, so then, they're revolted.
Becoming revolted by cyclic existence. Your desire...
You become revolting.
Revolted,
You become revolted.
Right.
Revolted to the suffering. What happened if you enjoy samsara? Only in downside there you are not going to liberate. You are not going to achieve. No, you need to be practical. No, you can enjoy samsara and at the same time hoping to achieve, liberation, that's like unrealistic. Does not mean enjoying samsara is like negative things. It doesn't say that. So if you want to achieve liberations, so then you have to become revolted to, samsara. It's up to us. Taba dhoba tsisam dhoba chichi kunjung dhoba laase. Kunjung sambe gwenye kwe tsawa le dan nimo nam lekwa mishe na ben matunen da dekwa dalas. Lamji ne tamji cheching. Sibe, seeing like hitting something without seeing the target, but you're shooting something, but doesn't go to the target because there's no, first of all, there's probably no target. If there's target, then you don't see them. Then, if we don't study the cause of problems, then it's going to be like, cause of problems, as I said, according to the Four Noble Truths, is the summary of, why we call it the cyclic existence. How to get out. Their cycles. If we don't understand the cause of the Second Noble Truth, so then we are hitting bow and arrow, then you are hitting on the chair, the chair is the one who's causing me all the suffering, So because I don't like the way they made, I don't like the cover, the color, and all of that, so then you are shooting arrow there, not knowing, you know, they think that's the cause of suffering, but actually it is something, you know, it's not hitting the target, you know, so that's what it means. So that's why studying the second noble truth to help you to truly understand the cause of, you know, suffering, to understand that. So then, based on that, then if you shoot the arrow, it will hit there, it will hit there. But it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. It's easy to say, but you know, not easy to do. So, Bhem Matun, that there was Lam Jin Nen of Chiji, Sibaratri, Lam, Mayimpala, Imbarsune, Nawar Devon, Nawar Jui, Chidaso. So then, with that, you know, so then there's, you probably know, like there's so many practice, you know, people, you know, sit on one foot long hour, you know, like as there's all kind of practice, you know, people, they burn their finger, they put something on, there's all kind of like, this is all method to achieve moksha. That's what it is, you know, that's, before Buddhism, there are so many practices existing in India, you know, like the, sitting on 1 foot long time, like many, many hours a day, you know, so then not eating like many, many days, you know, like all kind of practices that you see. What else, Shankar, in India? Smoking cigar.
Well, standing on one leg.
Hanging from trees, all kind of thing. Then, I'm not sure. Smoke a cigar. what is this? What they smoke? This, huh? Oh yeah, no cigar. I'm sure. I have no idea. So, so only the ideas like, yeah, only idea. Something big. That's a lot of smoke comes out. So that's all. So anyway. So see, there's, you know, like then, like not eating like long time, you know, so all kind of things, you know. See, Bhema the Dalai Lama nam cheje sibele tuve lama yeba sunne ngawa jeva meva juve chidans. All the effort you put, unfortunately, become fruitless compared to. Fruitless according to the goal, which is moksha. According to that goal, become fruitless. It's not saying that you don't feel good. No, you may feel good, you know, during that long hour. You may feel good. That's another goal. The goal is, if you ask them, the goal is not just feeling good. Goal is moksha. If the goal is moksha, then that effort becomes fruitless. Because moksha and cycling existing, caught up in cycling existing, where to get out is Buddha sums up in the four noble truth. So clearly you don't understand the second noble truth. You do understand first noble truth, but you don't understand the second noble truth. That's why effort becomes fruitless. Does not mean you don't feel good. You may feel that good that you did something wonderful. Yeah, you can feel that, but that will not lead to moksha. So that's what it means. Okay. Doesn't mean you don't feel good. No, you can feel good, may feel very good. Then the Bhem Matoya da dek bata lam chit nen nam chi ching sibara chwe lam ma imba la imba sunye sibara chwe lam something that is not lead to liberation, but you think that it will lead to liberations. So then you put so much effort there, in the end it becomes fruitless. Lama Yambala Yimba Sunne Ngawa Jivamiva Jivichinasa. Pangja Duku Mahena. If you don't understand what needs to be abandoned, that the first true truth, if you don't understand that, there's a, you know, short word. How they say it in English?
Finally, if you fail to understand the need to eliminate suffering and its origin, you will also fail to recognize the liberation that provides relief from suffering and its origin. Hence, your interest in liberation will be mere conceit.
So then please continue.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the way that. You know, so some people, you know, they meditate, you know, they try to build their concentrations, you know. So when you become concentration, you become pretty good. There's so much, you know, joy that will be generated. Not because you are like tired of sick of samsara, not because you are tired of samsara. Simply you are sick of, you know, this gross feeling, gross thought, mind. So then, you know, because sick of this gross feeling, gross mind, because of then you do, you know, some kind of, you know, some level of concentration, meditations, and you do that, you know. So that's quite famous in Hinduism. Then you do that. So then you really, you know, concentrate, you really concentrate. People probably can use, like, using mantra, you know. So like, sometimes you see, like, there are malas hidden in the back, you see. They do have hand, but, you know, it's not like, so there's no, in order to generate some power, you are not supposed to let people see your mala. So that's why, you know, they're waiting, whenever they do some mantra, they're wearing some, you know, some like bags to, you know, to hide their mala, you know, not to see any other people. So they're to, anyways, use that mantra. Anyway, any kind of, like, not sick of samsara, but sick of this, all this gross mind, gross feeling, sick of that. So then based on that, you know, they do some meditation. Eventually they manage to cease all of that. All this gross feeling, gross mind, they cease, you know. So then, because of that, there's like so much joy being generated, because there's so much difficulty they experienced before that, you know, gross mind, all of that. So now all of a sudden, they kind of managed to stop, not completely cease. So there's so much joy being generated. So then they think, oh, this is liberations. Then they spend many times, actually this is not liberations. This is part of samsara, it's not liberation, you know. So that's when the people kind of like has liberation been misunderstood based on knowledge and also based on experience, you know, liberation been misunderstood. So if you study the Four Noble Truths, your understanding of the liberation is not going to be a mistaken one. It's going to be the correct one according to Buddha's teachings. Huh? Otherwise, you know, based on experience, based on knowledge, based on theory, you know, liberation could be misunderstood. So then, because of that, you know, they spend so much time, you know, because there's a lot of joy, because they, you know, they can now, they temporarily, they are kind of free themselves from this, all this gross mind, gross feeling. So they don't have any difficulty that comes with that. You know, they don't have to go through that because they are free from that. So then, you know, they. So then I think result of that, you know, practice, you are going to be born in form realm. The main cause of to be born in form realm is concentrations. Stronger the concentration, better the chance to be born in form realm, you know. And that's like temporarily getting out of desire realm where we live. So then there are, you know, when you are born, then you have this, you kind of aware that you are born. Then after that, that's it. Then there's no feeling, no. So that you just, when you're born, then you realize, oh, I was born. So then till you are dead, there's nothing. It's like, you know, very quiet, no. There's no real, there's no gross feeling. There's nothing, no. So then the time of death, then you kind of again, you kind of know that, you know, you are going to die, no. So Dijiminyam, I think it's like. Form realm, there's no first, second, third, fourth one there, you know, so probably going to be born there, one of there, we're going to be born there. So anyway, so then with that, so, not bad place to born, like, compared to desire realm, complication wise, that realm is much better, complication-wise. then much better. No, so like there's less complications. So not depending on gross, no food, no. That we have like no shopping center, no Walmart, no Harris Teeter, no Whole Foods. Complication wise, it's better. When it's come down to liberation, enlightenment, that's not the best place to be born. Desire realm, that's the best place to be born. If your goal is liberation, enlightenment, the desire realm is the best place to be born as a human. Desire realm, within desire realm, there's many, many beings. Human is the best chance to get enlightened. If you just want to be, you know, like temporary free from all this complication, not the liberation wise, enlightenment wise, complication wise, you know, form realm is much better, you know, much better. So that's why, you know, this, like, they are kind of sick of this, all the complicated desire realm. So they're not also, because they went through the experience, so then they concentrate, then that power of concentrations create direct cause to be born of the form realms. So they are so, then life spans varies, first, second, third, fourth, probably long, long, compared to human life, is very, very long. So that does not mean all the concentration meditation will lead there. Does not mean don't worry about that. Oh, tomorrow I'm not going to concentrate, I'm worried I'm going to be born from realm. No. All the concentration does not lead you to form realm. No. With honest emptiness, you know, so this could become the cause to liberations and enlightenment. Not every concentration become the cause to be born in a form realm. So, okay, thank you very much. Yeah, you are all of you are amazing, because you walk all day long, come here at night. So I'm not sure if I'm in your positions, I'm not sure I can come. I'm not sure. So it's amazing. It's amazing that you walk all day long, you know. Come here, you know, to listen, you know, like Lama Tsongkhapa teaching, same time create a course to meet Lama Tsongkhapa teachings in the future. And that's also another amazing, you know, so that you are reading Lam Rim. So please just, you know, enjoy, okay? Dāke shīnyā sāpiñkā vādhī tēnā rūvā kūlā kāmyā tā chēpā chūtā lō sā nāmā yu tē mēnjī mōrī ndō sā shē shū hō chē vādhāṁ chē tō līndā lā yu shē pē tē vādhā kī chūtā chā chū pē sā tō tā vādhā mā tā vādhā sā pā kūtō chūn sū hā mē mēnjī vājī mē chūtā chū vājī yā chē vādhāṁ chē tō līndā mā tā yu chū nē gāyā tā vā chīnyā chē vādhāṁ chē shīn tē tā chū tā mā tā pā kūtā chū 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 chī ຈົນເດເດເຈຈາວາຈາມາຍາດາບາຊະເປດາຈາດາບານາເຈເຈຈາມໍລາຈາດາລາຈາດາມາຊະມາຈະມໍກຸນໂດຊໍມໍລາຈາດາລາເດຍາດາອໍມະຊາລິຍາມຸດານະຍາໂຊວາຈົນເດເດເຈຈາວາຈາມາຍາດາບາຊະເປດາຈາດາບານາເຈເຈຈາມໍລາຈາດາລາຈາດາມາຊະມາຈະມໍກຸນໂດຊໍມໍລາຈາດາລາ Yeah, thank you. Good night. Yeah.